Round up a posse, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast designed with you in mind. Preaching to the choir, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, you may remember that my biggest problem in the world of podcasting occurred, and that is the day the landscaper showed up on podcast recording day. Well, that was last episode. This episode, they're back, but they're leaving, so I think we're going to be okay. Welcome to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is the podcast for you lazy people that are a little bit worried about approaching Medicare. You're going from normal life to your Medicare life, and you don't know how it's going to go. Well, I'm here to tell you it's probably going to be just fine, but we are always here to help smooth that transition. And for the purposes of doing that, we have Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, who is the announcer that opens every episode of the podcast. We have things to sell to you, like the Medicare for the Lazy Man book, The Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And that's on sale at Amazon, along with the ebook version of it. So you got a paperback with a red 2021 on the cover, and you have an ebook that's costs about $3.80. And soon we'll have an Audible book, which is going to cost you God knows what, because they make up the prices. I don't, but I don't know when that's going to be on sale. I gave it to them on January 21st, and I wrote to them last week, and I said, hey, when's my book going to be on sale? And they wrote me back, and they said, you have to write us from a different email address. We can't talk to you. So I wrote them again, and I said, when's my book going to be on sale? And they wrote back, and they said, well, we understand that you're concerned about when your book is going to be on sale. Thank you very much for writing. We'll let you know when it's on sale. So I'm telling you, I'm not happy with these people, but they're the only game in town. So I'm kind of stuck with them. I'll tell you who I am happy with, who is not the only game in town, but the best at his game is Randy Carson, my engineer and my spiritual guru. Randy, it's good to hear you, or good to see you, actually. I haven't heard you yet.
It's good to be seen. The last podcasting episode, we sounded like we had some sort of a mad bee, buzzing around the studio.
Yeah, and every time I thought the mad bee was going away, the landscaper running the two-cycle leaf blower would come even closer to the window. He didn't tap on the window, but he smiled at me and I waved at him, and then he went away, and then he came back and went away and came back. So we wound up doing less Medicare in that episode and more Arizona real estate talk and stuff like that.
And flood irrigation. We had a lot of Arizona specific stuff.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful place to live.
It is. I'm going to get out. You've got a hammer. I've got a hammer. I'm going to get out my hammer and see if we can get after some Medicare stuff. And we are going to dig into the mailbag, because I don't want to get accosted when I get up to the chip.
Well, I've got other content I was going to do, but I think the mailbag is probably going to be the most valuable from a life-saving perspective. So let me get back to where I was. I have a letter here from a gentleman who says, what does he say? He says, okay, I was checking my options for Part D, meaning the drug plans. He did what we say in the book. We give you step-by-step directions to go to the government website, plug in the information about your drugs, where you like to have your prescriptions filled, how much you take, and all that stuff. And then eventually the website will tell you, out of the 30 or so drug plans that are available where you are, it will tell you the one, two, or three least expensive drug plans, and you can line those up side by side on the website. So anyway, This gentleman said, I was expecting to see a breakdown by each pharmacy and by each drug. Also, when I added a particular drug, it said it could not find any plans for me. I was looking at this previously, and I'm sure it gave me a breakdown of pharmacies and drugs. This is what I got. And he sent me a picture, and the picture basically is just, it's nonsensical, but it's a screenshot of what he saw on the government website after putting in all this information. Then he says, why does it say drugs covered or not covered, 0 of 0? He is thoroughly confused. So I said, well, on, let's see, I said, I have never seen a result like that. And I got to tell you, this guy's name is Steve. He is the Steve, in fact, who has grown from being a giant pain in the rear to being one of my favorite correspondents, because his questions are always pithy. However, he stumped me on this one. He said, I said, Steve, I've never seen a result like that. So I can only think of two possibilities, and both of them would be your fault. My speculation is that you either forgot to enter any drug stores or you take some pretty weird drugs. If you would like me to see if I can duplicate your results, I have attached a new form. I just discovered it. If you want, you can add up to 5 pharmacies in your search parameters. So then he responds, I'll have to work this through again, but when I went to the website of the actual plan, I could see what they were paying. I might have, that was a long time ago. I might have to do that with the weird drugs. I might have to agree with you on that. One drug I don't think is covered or not covered that much, and when I include it, messes things up. I'll play around with it some more and get back to you. It did not act like this last year when I checked on it. And so then I said, if you can't figure it out, be sure and let me know. No guarantees that I will succeed in figuring it out, but I'm willing to give it a try. And then he said, hi, maybe I did this too early in the morning. Yeah, like the government website doesn't work overnight. Maybe I did this too early in the morning, or maybe they were doing maintenance on their servers. I got it to work. The best price was this, Clear Spring Health Premier RX. And he said, it said that the plan was too new to be measured. Is it too new to be rated? So is this an okay company? Also, I gave it several pharmacies and mail order, and now I can get some things at the local pharmacy and others mail order. Is that right? And I responded, congratulations, Steve. I have seen that plan listed many times before, so I don't know how new they could be. I think that there is too much government meddling to allow a fly-by-night company to rip people off. Typically, you are allowed to change carriers, that's insurance companies, without a problem if your company implodes. Then I said, I use mail order for everything unless it's something short-term like an antibiotic. Mostly this is because I'm lazy, but also as an added benefit, it's often cheaper to use mail order rather than your drugstores. You can always switch back and forth at will, but the mail order clerks seem to be easily confused. So I would recommend exercising some consistency. So that was my most recent exchange with Steve. And again, that last part was in answer to his questions about, can he get some drugs in his local pharmacy and can he do others with mail order? And my caution to him was, you can do it that way if you like, but try to be consistent because the mail order people are a little easy to confuse. So I have another gentleman who wrote a question. He said, Doug, I have a Steve-like question for you. So I'm smelling failure coming down the pike here. He says, as you know, I turned 65 in August last year and signed up for a Medicare Part A. I'm currently covered under my wife's medical insurance, so I do not currently need Part B. We may make a change from my wife's coverage to my employer's medical insurance at the end of the year, and then retire sometime in 2022. When I do retire and apply for Part B, do I need to complete an employment coverage form, CMS-L564, for both employers to show that I had continuous medical coverage since age 65, or just the one from my most current employer, to show that I have medical coverage. Thank you in advance, and I look forward to your pithy response. Not pissy, but pithy. So I said, Dominic, this is the famous Dominic Regina. I said, I can't believe I have to wait until 2022 to get my hooks into your wallet. That's very disappointing that he's not ponying up with a purchase of a product that will get me some commission income sooner than 2022. The feds are mostly concerned about how long you went without creditable coverage after you ceased active employment or coverage from a spouse who is actively at work. And the trigger point I see frequently is 8 months. The good news here is that due to the panic, they have not been demanding the actual signature from the former employer. So I would use my belt and suspenders philosophy, make a few copies of that form, and fill it out for all of the employer group plans you have participated in. I hope that helps. And Dominic said, sounds good. Thanks. By the way, you may have my money in January. So I have like 10 months to wait until Dominic's ready to pry open his wallet and let the moths out. So I'm looking forward to that. I got another correspondence, several back and forth episodes of correspondence with a real estate agent. And he's over 65, covered by a company with a Part G, a Plan G, Medicare Supplement Plan G. And he is paying, I would say, somewhere between $75 and $90 more than the going rate for Plan G in our area. And so he was referred to me by a mutual friend. So the first thing he quotes is the friend's referral. My client is an insurance agent. This is my real estate lady friend referring me to her coworker. My client is an insurance agent. I had him check into a temporary plan until Medicare kicks in. He found a plan for me that starts at $220 a month and goes up from there. So blah, blah, blah. And then the gentleman wrote to me directly. He said, as you can see from the attached, I have been referred to you for a second opinion on my Medicare Part B and Part D supplement plans. For Part B supplement, I have the name of the company I'll leave out. I'm paying $216.88 right now per month for the Medicare supplement Plan G. While I am a healthy 71-year-old, I have existing conditions. And he lists a few things. And then he says, what can you do for me? And so I then launched into the things that I could do for him. I said, thank you for writing. There are different ways to get the most bang for your expenditure for each of those plans. And I guess we're talking about, you said, do you see any better options? I don't know what plans I was referring to. And let's see here. Shall I assume you live in Maricopa County? It is unusual for Medicare coverages to start on a day other than the first of the month. And you told me that the plan begins on March 25th. So what is the start date of Part B on your Medicare ID card? If it's fairly recent, your medical history may not come into play at all. He was very concerned about his medical history causing him not to be able to switch to a more cost-effective Medicare supplement plan. And so I was asking him whether he was still in his open enrollment period. And apparently not. So he says, so I said, Plan G is excellent protection, but it comes with a price tag, as you know. My companies offer Plan G for between $145 and $165, depending on whether you qualify for a household discount. Another of my A-plus rated companies may save you some money depending on your Part B start date. A third company offers Plan G at $171, assuming you're a non-smoker and fairly close to your Part B start date so that your medical history will not be a factor. And then I said, how about a monthly premium of $56 from a highly rated company? That is my favorite plan of all, But once again, I need to know more about your situation before I can predict a rate with any certainty. When it comes to your prescription drug plan, a lot depends on the exact drugs you take, where you like to have your prescriptions filled, and where you live. So what I do is I take all those factors into the Medicare website and create a list of all the available drug plans listed in order of cost. Conversely, I can teach you how to do it so you can see the results play out for yourself. In case you would like to move ahead and get accurate premium quotes, I have attached a short Medicare questionnaire and a prescription drug list form. Please fill them out as completely as you want to and return them to me at your convenience. I will then be happy to dig deeper into coverages for you and to try and save you some money. Thanks for writing. So he and I went back and forth, and basically I showed him a medical questionnaire that would be put out, or that he would have to fill out if he were to switch to a different company with a more reasonably priced Part G Medicare supplement. And he gave it some thought, and we chatted a couple more times by telephone this time. And he said, I think I have finally come to the conclusion that I'm not able to handle the risk of the high deductible plan that you suggested. So I'd rather have the full-blown Plan G that I have now, but I'm paying too much for. And when I see the medical questions, then I know that I will not be able to qualify to switch to a different company with a lower cost Plan G. So because of my medical condition and because of my my risk aversion, I'm going to have to say thanks for trying to help me, and I'm going to stay put. So that was at least gave him the opportunity to see what was out there and what was going to be problematic for him if he decided to go to a different cover, different carrier, a different insurance company would ask him medical questions, and he would not be able to present himself as a really, really healthy dude. So let's see here. Got a questionnaire from the website, and this is from a gentleman named Owen from Lafayette, Louisiana. And on the questionnaire, he said, covered on wife's plan. She is a retired public school teacher. Well, that tells me that she's not actively at work, and the clock is ticking on the late enrollment penalty for him to take Medicare and then a Medicare supplement. So I said, thanks for making contact, Mr. So-and-so. You said you were interested in Medicare Supplement Plan G, and I am happy to show you representative rates for that. However, high deductible Plan G represents such significant savings, I thought I would show you the premium cost for that plan as well. And it turns out that the most cost-effective Plan G was $161.71 a month. And the most cost-effective high-deductible Plan G, or high-value Plan G, as Randy and I call it, is $65 a month. So that saves him about $95 a month. So I said, these three are all highly rated companies, as you can see. The one offers attractive monthly rate for Plan G. However, I always like to point out the excellent savings available with the high-deductible Plan G, priced at $65. And I told him what I just told you. So he said, or I said then, I'm always happy to have more in-depth discussions about these or any Medicare elements you have an interest in order to prepare in case you are close to making a decision to apply for Medicare supplement plan or a prescription drug plan. I have attached two questionnaires for you to complete. And then he said, thank you so much. Comparing these quotes to what I presently have on my BCBS LA, Louisiana group plan, it will be better for me to stay put for the present. If, however, my wife predeceases me, I'll have to make a change. And at that time, I would also need to add Medicare Part D, which is included with my present plan. Should that unhappy event occur, I'll be back in touch. Thank you again, Owen. And so I said, well, I'm glad to hear from you. I hope things continue just as they are for a very, very long time. meaning I hope his wife does not predecease him. I think he would probably be an unhappy camper, judging by what I just read. I'm hearing Randy making some noise there. Is that your subtle way of telling me that the crickets are about to chirp?
I heard it off the crickets before they took off. Is predeceased, is that a word?
Yeah, that's a whole word. And he's married to a school marm, so I know he used that word.
Oh, right. He wouldn't be using a fake word.
No, not at all. But he's the kind of guy who crunched the numbers and said, you know something, I'm better off staying with the plan that my wife has me covered by. But if that changes, I'll get back to you. Well, I don't consider that a waste of time at all. I made contact with a guy. He's serious about his insurance protection, and he knows how to do a plan comparison. And so he said, okay, knowing what I know now, I'm not going to make a change, but I'll probably talk to you in the future. And that's fine with me. I don't like these people who write me and they say, well, here's an example. A woman wrote me and she said, I need help. I'm 67 years old. I'm in August, I'm going to be retiring, leaving my group medical plan, and I need help. I'm so confused. And I said, well, here's what you do. Here's a little 2-page questionnaire. Please fill it out for me so that I know exactly how to tell you what your options would cost. And then we can go from there. Never heard from her again. You would think that if she needed help that badly and she's all panicked and everything, that she would respond immediately. Ah, so I thought, okay, maybe my email went into her spam folder. So I sent her an email follow-up from my telephone. And then I have a thing on the questionnaire that says, do you text? What are your phone numbers? Do you have a mobile number? And do you text? And she said yes to that. So I sent her a little text saying, look for my email in your regular mail or in your spam folder. And thought that's foolproof way of getting back to her. She can't possibly miss that. And what happened? Nothing. You know, it's just like maybe she predeceased her husband.
Maybe she predeceased your email
that's entirely possible.
So she really did need some help really quickly.
Well, I think she needs help learning how to correspond with people.
So, you know, something,
when somebody says they don't want to buy something from me because the time isn't right or the cost is not right or whatever they've got is better than anything I have to offer, that's perfectly understandable. When somebody says that they need help and I'm the only guy that can help them, or they love the book and what about this and that and everything else, and then they never respond, they drop off the face of the earth, that's really the part that bothers me. So you were about to ask a question. What was that?
It's a similar situation. I think I've told you this. I'm not sure that I've discussed it on the podcast, but I used to work with a fellow that literally is a programming technical genius. And he loves to work with people. He loves to help them. He loves to mentor them. But I'll tell you one thing you don't do with those kind of people.
What's that?
When you say, how would you suggest I do X? And then when they tell you what X is, they go, well, that's not right. All right, here's your flag. Here's your brick. Okay, just go to the lake and hop in that canoe. Yeah. I mean, why would you go to an expert like you and then not listen to what they had to say?
Right. I can understand having a legitimate difference of opinion, but it's rare that, there are more than three ways to handle a problem. And when somebody asks for advice and says, that's wrong, then that seems a little rude.
Yeah. I used to have a boss that I worked with that was an army officer in one of his past lives. And he absolutely wanted every response to go out on a timely basis. He considered not returning phone calls to be the height of rudeness. I mean, this guy was just solid gold all the way down. I guarantee you, Doug, that tonight I could send him an email at 2:30 this morning and he will have responded by 2:40.
Well, first of all, 2:30 in the morning is when the Chinaman goes to the dentist. 2:30.
2:30.
That's always 2:30.
Yeah.
Anyway, obviously new to you.
It is news to me.
That guy sounds like he's taken a page out of my own book, because I cannot leave a message unreturned or an email unanswered without feeling guilty about it. So I think he's got the right idea. If somebody wants your input enough to reach out to you, then they deserve to be responded to.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And he was probably the best boss I ever had. A lot of people couldn't deal with his military approach, but he was the best boss I ever had, because you knew where you stood.
Yeah.
If you were doing good, he told you you were doing good. If you missed the mark on something, he'd tell you you missed the mark and how to fix it.
He didn't hurt your feelings. You didn't have to go find a safe place to hide from him if he was unhappy with you.
No, there was no hurting of feelings. He just spoke fact.
Well, that's the kind of person I deal with better than most also. Apparently we're in the minority, or we're rapidly becoming a minority.
I think we're becoming a really, really rare animal.
Yeah. That's kind of a sad thing, but you know, all it takes is a few Germans trying to take over your country, and all of a sudden we rise to the occasion. I'm hoping that we do
that's
again.
That's right. You know something? We have a whole bunch of audience to thank for joining us today.
Should we thank them individually or maybe all at once?
Yes. Susie, thank you.
Larry, we're Tommy, happy you joined us.
Tommy, thank you. I'm really glad you could join us, Henry.
Yeah.
And then there's Frank.
And I saw Frank's girlfriend sitting right next to him. So thank you, lady, madam. And Oh, there were a couple of Petes over there. Two different guys named Pete.
Yeah, several of those. But, you know, we'll get to the rest of you soon. But thanks for the great, great input you have given us today for the mailbag. I love the mailbag. It keeps me alive in Cave Creek. But we need to land this plane, Doug. So I'm going to bring it in for a landing.
All right.
Go buy your books.
Yes. Amazon.com is the most logical place for you to find them. How does that taste? That cross drop that you're chewing on.
Yeah, it tastes really good.
And then we also have to say that we sell the books at BarnesandNoble.com. Haven't seen many go out the door there. So if you are not an Amazon fan, go to BarnesandNoble.com. You can get the 2021 book there as well. So I'm just about through with everything I had to say, Randy.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for joining us on another podcast. You did a great job of doing the mailbaggers, and I absolutely was thrilled, because I wasn't going to be able to step into the chip without it.
Well, as it stands right now, I'd say you could stay for hours and hours, and nobody's going to give you any trouble.
And tomorrow is our Guinness Day.
Yes, it is.
So we can't forget that. And you need to deliver a book, because there's someone in my neighborhood is really, really anxious to get one.
And that would be you, I hope.
Be me.
Yeah, I'm not giving these things away to strangers.
So you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, the sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and now recently the head pilot for MLM Air, and the soon-to-be-announced chain of movie theaters, their drive-ins, and they only take Corvettes.
I think at some point I'm going to suggest that you record all that, because you've got a lot to remember there.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.
Looking forward to seeing you next time.